Well, it has been more than 2 weeks since the RCMP made several arrests on Wet'suwet'en territory in northern BC, sparking protests that have blocked railways and roads across the country. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has been speaking with premiers. He's issued a statement about the importance of ending the blockades as quickly as possible and reaching a peaceful and lasting resolution in a way that builds trust and respect among all parties involved. Those are his words. Meantime, BC Premier John Horgan has yet to meet with hereditary chiefs, saying that halting or delaying the pipeline project is not an option. And that brings up the question of reconciliation more broadly in Canada. Well, our next guest has a five-step plan. Bruce McIver is a lawyer, a historian, the principal of First Peoples Law Corporation. He's also an adjunct professor at UBC's Allard School of Law, and he joins us this morning. Good morning to you, Bruce.
Good morning, Stephen.
What do you think of the tactics that have been used by, I guess, both sides in this conflict, if we have to divide them into sides?
Well, I think it's important to remind everyone here at the base, this is a failure of political leadership. This is a failure on behalf of the both provincial and federal governments. It's not a Wet'suwet'en problem. It's not an Indigenous problem. It's a failure of the politicians, and I would put it particularly at the feet of the provincial government.
And where has the provincial government gone wrong here?
Where they've gone wrong is they follow the same policies of denial that every provincial government has in D.C. For the last 150 years, while they get out in front of mics and talk about reconciliation and recognition. The fact is, on the ground, they continue to deny the existence of Aboriginal title. And it's directly because of that denial that leads us to an injunction and leads us to RCMP enforcement.
This is a government that has passed as legislation the UN Declaration of Rights for Indigenous People. Where do you see them falling short of that declaration, or is that nothing more than lip service given what we see going on?
I think it's really unfortunate. I think a lot of the demonstrations you've seen across BC in support of the Wet'suwet'en come out of the frustration that people have, both Indigenous and non-Indigenous, with the provincial government's failure to uphold its commitment to apply the principles from UNDRIP. Unfortunately, there was a way out here for the provincial government. They could have said, we are going to live up to our commitments right now. Instead, the premier has been clear that he thinks the legislation they passed last fall is simply a forward-looking document.
You have written a five-point plan for reconciliation, and you've written much about this. Just give me very, very briefly each of those five points, if you can.
Sure, thanks. I think the first one, very important, is it's time to renounce violence against Indigenous people. That's at the core of this. And when we see the RCMP enforcing this injunction against the Wet'suwet'en, it goes back to early days of BC history. Then it was called gunboat diplomacy, and it invokes that long, tragic history. That has to stop. It can't be an option any longer. Second, they do have to live up to their commitments under UNDRIP. Third, there's an important role for the federal government to play here. You hear the Prime Minister saying the most important relationship is with Indigenous people. Based on the Trans Mountain Pipeline, this pipeline, I think it's fair for people to think his most important relationship is with pipeline companies. Fourth, there needs to be recognition, not denial, of Aboriginal title. We don't need a court decision to do that. The provincial government can do it itself. And lastly, we have to get beyond this talk of veto. That's become a weapon against Indigenous people. We have to have serious conversations about consent-based decision-making.
You know, we are talking here, Bruce, about more than 150 years of colonialism. Can we undo that, you know, in a short period of time in five bullet points?
We can undo it, particularly because this is something that the politicians can do. The courts have been clear. This doesn't have to be resolved by the courts. This doesn't take 10, 20 years in court. In fact, the preferable way to do it is through political processes. We see that it can be done because of the 2014 Chilcotin decision on Aboriginal title. Do you see blockades there? Do you see the RCMP there? No, they've recognized title, and they're negotiating based on that fact.
And in this particular instance, I mean, you have the provincial government being a proponent of a multi-billion dollar pipeline project here. Is it realistic for them just to cancel the project and have the proponent pack up and go home?
I think it's very important for us all to keep in mind. It's not that the hereditary chiefs were simply opposed to any pipeline. They proposed an alternative route. The pipeline could have gone where there had already been development. Instead of accepting that, the provincial government sided with the pipeline company and said, in the interest of cost, it makes more sense to push it through part of Wet'suwet'en territory where the hereditary chiefs were opposed.
Bruce, do you take any comfort in the fact that the RCMP have said that they will withdraw from Unist'ot'en, from that part of Wet'suwet'en territory?
I think we have to see on the ground what this means. The last report that I've had is that they've not withdrawn yet. And whether they withdraw or not, when will they be back? It's that threat of coming back that hangs over not just the Wet'suwet'en, but all Indigenous people in this situation, and we have to remove that threat.
Bruce, it's very good to hear you this morning. Thank you for taking our call. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Stephen.
You take care.